Let's get this party started.
Oh, I love to party. I'm having a
party. More of a party atmosphere. A
party for two. Oh, we're having a big party.
Good to have you along and joining me at the party table, former Toronto homicide detective, News Talk 1010 crime expert, Mark Mendelson. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
There were some alarming stories. We don't even have this on our docket, but it just occurred to me as I was introducing you as a former cop. We've had cops literally under physical attack in the city of Toronto.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of it over the last couple of weeks, and it culminated on Friday with the stabbing of an officer in the leg, which eventually led to the suspect being shot. We had another officer who had serious leg injuries, sort of stemming a car theft, and there was a tackle and what have you, and we've had officers punched in the face near their station. So yeah, there is an increase, and the Toronto Police Association has been quite vocal about it, as have some politicians. It's unfortunate. It's easy to say, look, this is what you signed up for, this is part of the job. But it really isn't. Nobody's paid enough money to be killed or seriously wounded. So, now you have cops, their heads are on a swivel. They're all looking around again. But, if we look back at Friday's, Jerry, with the stabbing of the officer and the shooting, what a great example for promoting body cams, because this will tell the story. You had the two officers there. Their body cams are on. There's audio as well. So when the SIU come in to conduct their parallel investigation, that's going to be very probative. And that's a good reason to have body cams. Good example.
All right, let's move on here. Are you going to get some money in your account today? Apparently one of these carbon rebates comes if you've done your taxes.
Well, I hope CRA is not listening. No, I haven't. And not quite yet. It's been a boondoggle from the beginning, Jerry. The way it was described, the way it was put out, there's been name changes to the program. It was never communicated well to the people of Canada. They didn't really understand what it was, and it was changing constantly. And I think now that the money's going to start coming in now, I think the next set of arguments is going to be people saying that they've done the math, and they're not getting back anywhere near what they have spent in carbon tax. And, the whole thing's a scam and a ripoff and what have you. I think that's going to be the next route we're going to go. It's going to take some time, but, people, when you file, you're going to get some money back, whether it's what you're expecting or not. We're going to have to wait and see. But from the beginning, this was just not handled and communicated to the general public very well.
It's an actual department of the government that did the hard work of looking at what the impact of the carbon tax is on the overall economy and said that the vast majority of people, in fact, will lose out because of the carbon tax. And yet, literally on this show, I've talked to Liberal members of Parliament who just, you're going to get more money, you're going to get more money. And I say, yeah, but statistically, they're going to get more money. They're like children.
Well, yeah, because that's all people, they think that's all we want to hear. Oh, you're going to get more money. But, the math, I don't think at the end of the day is going to work out. And, I hearken back to, Joe Cristiano, who's John Moore's producer, a couple of months ago, posted a receipt from a restaurant that he'd gone to, a pizzeria,
right,
where the owners had, not inadvertently, they had put in a little carbon tax at the bottom of the bill, basically saying, hey, we're doing our part as well. How many other establishments, whether it's the restaurant business or anything else, is going to try and slide that little ditty into the bill at the end of the day as well, because they're not getting as much money back. We all have to be careful. We got to keep our eyes open here. But as I said earlier, people are going to do the math, and we're going to hear a lot from people who are saying, listen, I've lost 40% of what I was supposed to get in overpayments, et cetera. We're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out.
Yeah, well, people have done the math. And if you look at the math that pollsters put together, Pierre Poilievre, Axe the Tax, is a winner. All right, so coming into work this morning in the dark and early, I was saying to John Moore, Mark, that I'm always surprised the number of people who are out there at 5 o'clock in the morning going somewhere. But as soon as you have a bit of a disturbance on the gardener, there's an accident or there's something, you find out exactly how many people are out there that early. And the disturbance now now is something that could go on for 3 years is the plan. So let's say 4 years, just to be safe here, and see whether it extends. They're going to start doing work. They've started doing work on the Gardner and cutting down on the lanes. And even at just after 5 o'clock in the morning, it caused slowdowns. We weren't stopped, but we were sure slowed way, way down. I don't know what it was like an hour later. But at the same time, I mean, I can leave a few minutes earlier for work if that's what it's going to require. Because I think in this case, probably the work needs to get done.
The work does need to get done. And we have been talking in this city for decades about what to do with the Gardner. Every person who's ever run for the job of mayor in this city has had their own vision of what the Gardner should or shouldn't be. Tear it down, rebuild it, put it underground. It, you know, we've gone on and on and on. But in the meantime, the thing's old and it's falling apart and it needs repairs. Go back a couple of decades, Jerry, to the city of Boston, who had something similar to the Gardner, and they decided, enough of this nonsense, we are going to rip this down, and we are going to build underground roads, et cetera, to replace the above-ground travelways. And they warned everybody, this is going to get ugly, and it's going to be inconvenient, but at the end of the day, you're all going to be much happier. And if you've been through Boston in the last 10 years, you can see how wonderful it turned out. You mentioned 3 years. You were generous to give it four. I if it's anything like the Metrolinks and the subway, we could be looking at 10. But you're right. It has to be fixed, and it's got to be fixed, without closing the entire Gardner off. So they have cut the lanes down. I'm happy to see that they've at least been allowed to work until 11 p.m. at night, which is good because that's just going to shorten the time. So at the end of the day, yes, people are going to be inconvenienced to hell. But when it's over, it's just going to be so much better and so much more convenient for everybody else. I think we just have to be patient. We're a big city. We've got infrastructure. Infrastructure gets old and it breaks and it has to be fixed or replaced.
Yeah, I have a son who lives in Boston and I've been there. And my memory of that whole thing, it was rife with all kinds of corruption, political corruption, mob involved, all of that kind of stuff. And that's one side of that sword. And the other side of the sword is things actually kind of cool. So
yeah, works like a charm.
If you end up with a good result, then figure out who was scamming and do what you have to do about them, but enjoy the result. I wonder how you will react. A little earlier on the show, I was reacting to an editorial commentary that Bill Maher made on television, and I've never been a fan of Bill Maher. He and I are maybe lining up occasionally every once in a while because of position that he's been taking of late, where he says that lefties are taking over liberalism in Canada and dragging. He said, I haven't changed. They've changed. And I wish we'd get back to being good old garden variety liberals. That seems to be where he's coming from. But then he used Canada as an example, and he talked about problems in our economy. You can't afford a house, and our healthcare system doesn't compare well with other countries that have similar healthcare systems. We spend more than they do, but we wait longer to get healthcare, all of that kind of stuff. And here's basically his conclusion.
And again, honestly, Canada, I'm not saying any of this because I enjoy it. I don't, because I've always enjoyed you. But I need to cite you as a cautionary tale to help my country. And the moral of that tale is, yes, you can move too far left.
Do you think he's right?
Well, I'm with you. Sometimes I like him and sometimes I don't. I think in this case, he hits on a couple of points, which is fair. But I think he's being a bit rich in some other points. I mean, he mentioned abortion. Well, look what's going on in the states with abortion now and women's right to choose what happens to their bodies. Every state, every court is turning these things into an illegal act. They are in court constantly. Roe v. Wade has been overturned. So don't give me your abortion stuff. You want to talk about safety? I mean, we're talking about a country with more guns than there are people. They have mass killings every hour, for God's sakes. We don't have that situation here. He talked about our immigration and how it would equate to what the U.S. brought in. Well, turn on the news in the U.S. What are you seeing? You're seeing immigrants being bussed from one state to another because the governor doesn't like them?
But Mark, what he's pointing out is our immigration is unbalanced, and it is one of the factors that means that young people can't afford a house in Toronto. And he's right about that.
Well, he is. He is absolutely right about that, because you look outside, Jerry, outside our studios. I mean, where there were people living on the streets. out there not that many months ago. We have tent encampments all over the place. So he's right about the numbers. But to say that they're doing it better than us, I just can't buy it. I look at what's going on in the States, just with their elections and with Trump and indictments and what have you, and all that is going on between the different parties, whether it's Republican or Democrat. To say that we are falling apart at the seams here, and I just think is a bit rich. He should be looking into his own backyard first.
Well, yeah, you could certainly say that, but that's also a way of sort of whistling past the graveyard of the fact that we have moved too far left, and it's cost us a lot of trouble. And by the way, whether people like it or not, here you would agree with him, and we're going to run out of time here, Mark. But he says to people on the left, keep it up, because then you're going to get somebody elected you aren't going to like, and that's going to happen in both countries.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right on that.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Mark.
You have a good morning, Jerry, and welcome back to the city.
Thank you very much. Coming up, here's an idea toward mitigating homelessness. We'll talk about it, and some people will get ticked. So away we go on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.